Jesus doesn't run. And I love that Jesus doesn't run. He doesn't hide.
He doesn't say, oh, no, here's some people with extra grace coming at me. They always want something.
Jesus doesn't run.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. This is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host here in the studio with Pastor Mark Job, senior pastor of New Life Community Church, author, speaker, and a pastor to the city. Pastor Mark, we're so excited about this series, See the Change. And you're taking us on the first half of this message, on the first message, right to one of Scripture's, one of the most famous chapters and stories in all of Jesus' ministry, the feeding of the 5,000.
You know, when I think of the feeding of the 5,000, Josh, I am just amazed at the touch of Jesus, the multiplication. This is a faith-building message.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but there are times when, man, my faith runs at low ebb. And I need to learn the principles. I need to see the stories. I need to keep my faith at a level where I'm trusting God at every moment. And so for those of you that are feeling like, hey, my faith is running a little bit low, it's hard for me to believe, I've been in this battle for a long time, I'm a little weary, this message is for you.
Yeah, I love it. I love how Jesus calls out of the disciples this, you know, he says, you feed them, this impossible reality he calls them to. And I think I've felt that way. I've felt like I'm being called to an impossible reality. And in this message, you talk about how, you know, Jesus plus your impossibility equals this incredible miracle. And I cannot wait to get into it. Where should people go if they want to hear more of these messages, Pastor Mark?
You know, we have over 450 messages, I believe, on our Straight Talk app. So if you go to www.pastormarkjob.com, you can download our app, and we have literally hundreds of messages packaged in series, all kinds of topics there that you can listen to anytime you want and build your faith.
Yeah, that's great. Go to PastorMarkJob.com for more. Let's get into the Word. This is the first half of the message called What's in Your Lunch Bag? John chapter 6.
I'm convinced that the most important muscle that you have is not your biceps, triceps. The most important muscle that you have is your faith muscle. In fact, everything good that comes from God comes via faith. And so get ready, because I believe that God is creating, developing an atmosphere in this faith, in this place, because when our faith grows and our expectation grows, then God is able to move in some extraordinary ways. How many of you have great expectations of what God is going to do? Amen. So I've entitled this message, What's in Your Lunch Bag? And I actually brought a lunch bag today. You know, lunch bags are kind of interesting. This brings back memories for some of you, right? I know nowadays lunch bags are a little bit more, you know, it's the Buzz Lightyear lunch box. But the thing about a lunch bag when you're a kid is that typically kids don't prepare their lunch bag when they're small. And so they get to school and they're not really sure what's in their lunch bag. I remember getting to school and kind of open up my lunch bag. My mom had prepared it, and I was like, some days I was like, wow, look at it. I got some Doritos. Look at that. I got some I got some little brownies. I got some Nutella. But other times, I'd show up and say, I got a banana. You know, sometimes you're delighted by what's in your lunch bag, and sometimes you're disappointed by what's in your lunch bag. But you know what? There's something about that lunch bag that has power. It's a small lunch, but it has a lot of power. And I'm going to, my theme today is what's in your lunch bag. I think people are somewhat like lunch bags as well. You don't really know what's going on until you open up the lunch bag and see what's inside. How about it? I was just this past week, I was dropping someone off at the airport, O'Hare Airport, and I was on my way back and I stopped at an Oasis to grab a cup of coffee at the Starbucks, and I had to follow up on some emails. And so I just sat down in a little corner there at the Oasis just for a couple of minutes, checking my email and answering some phone calls. And there was a woman that came up to me. And she came up and she kind of interrupted me and said, "Sir, you know," she started in this kind of story about how she'd run out of gas and how, you know, she needed just a certain amount of money to fill her gas tank. And she had this, has someone started to talk to you and you kind of feel right away, someone's scamming me here? So she's kind of going on with her little scam. I felt it right away. This is a scam. I could tell she's kind of showing me how her bank account's under. And I said, "Listen, I'm sorry." I said, "You know, there's so many scams going on nowadays, and I feel like you're scamming me." And she looked at me kind of a little bit aggravated. I was going to talk to her a little bit more, but she walked away right away. And she said, so I could hear, "It's just easier to rob people. Next time, I'm just going to rob them." And I thought, wow, really? It's easier to rob people than to scam people? But you see, when she first approached me, I wasn't really sure what it was about. But as we started to talk, I could see what was in her lunch bag right away. And today I want you to turn your attention to a story that's found in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. So you could take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6 or your smartphones or wherever you carry the word. We're going to have the scripture on the screen as well. Because there's a story here that's a faith-building story. And it centers around a little boy's lunch. Just a small lunch. Nothing big, nothing fancy, just a small lunch. But from this story surrounding this lunch, we learn some pretty powerful, significant lessons about faith and opportunity. I believe that some of you here today are not stepping into the opportunities that God has for you because your faith is not at the place where God wants it to be. I believe that some of you here today are not being used how God wants to use you because your faith is not where it needs to be for God to use you. And so I hope that as you hear this story and we mine for some of the principles that are found in this story about faith, that God will bolster your faith, that you will walk out of this place with a greater sense of what God wants to do in your life and a greater sense of expectation. So I'm going to start reading in John chapter 6, verse 5. It says, "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 'It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.' Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and he says, 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish.'" There's a lunch. "But how far will it go among so many?" I want to pause. I'm going to give you 4 factors that you need to consider as you start to build your faith to maximize the opportunities that God has for you. Number one, I want you to understand the faith test. The faith test. I want you to see that when Jesus looked up and he saw a great crowd coming towards him, Jesus was tired. We find out in another New Testament passage that he had gone away to pray. He'd been ministering, praying, talking to people, pouring out of himself. You know, when you're around a lot of people and you're giving and talking and conversing, and it can be draining, right? Have you ever come back from some family gathering and you're just tired? You don't want to talk to anybody else. Jesus had been ministering, praying, healing, dealing with people's problems for a long time, and he got away, the Bible says, to pray. He needed alone time, a recharge time with God. And he got alone to pray, and as he was on the mountain slope, and I've been to the mountain slope where they think that Jesus fed the 5,000. It overlooks the sea there. You could see it. And as he's up there with his disciples, tired, a little bit exhausted, he sees that a bunch of people, a big multitude, are making their way across the sea coming towards him. He sees the problem. He sees the people with needs coming towards him. And I love that Jesus doesn't run. He doesn't hide. He doesn't say, oh no, here's some people with extra grace coming at me. They always want something. Let's get out of here, disciples. No, he stays there, although he sees them coming towards him. How many of you have people in your life that when you see them coming towards you, you like want to run? He sees these people coming towards him, these people that are going to demand things of him, these people that have needs and problems and issues in their life. And as he sees them coming towards them, he watches the great crowd come towards him, it says in verse 5. And he turns over to Philip, one of his disciples, that's next to him. And he says to them, look at all these people. It's late. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Now, it tells us in several passages in the New Testament that there was about 5,000 men in that crowd. 5,000. 5,000 is about the number of people that we have gathering at our New Life congregations on Sunday morning. A little over 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. And I can just imagine trying to feed 5,000 people. If we were to try to organize an event to feed 5,000 people, it's a massive operation. It's very pricey, very costly. I mean, to seat people, to get enough bread and something to drink and meat. I mean, it would cost thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars. Think about it. You get a cheap meal today, get catered in, maybe $8 a head, $10 a head, just for a cheap meal, 5,000. You do the math. That's a lot of money. And then not only was it 5,000 men, but they say on top of the men, there was less women that were there, but there were women and children as well, part of the crowd. So some scholars estimate that there could have been around 7,000 people or more coming towards Jesus, and Jesus feels the compassion and the need to have to try to meet their physical needs, to try to serve them lunch. And so he turns to Philip and he says, hey, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Philip has a response that I think you and I would have is like, Jesus, whoa, we got to feed these people? Hey, let them find their own McDonald's. Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? And I want you to notice something. Anytime Jesus asks you a question, anytime God asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Hello. It said that he asked Philip only to test him. Sometimes God is asking you things just to test you. Sometimes God is putting you in a place just to see how will you respond.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled, What's in Your Lunch Bag? It's from our brand new series called See the Change. And after tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of John, chapter 6. His message, What's in Your Lunch Bag?
He asked Philip to test him. But notice the second phrase here, for he, speaking of Jesus, already had in mind what he was going to do. Come on now, this makes me so happy. God already had a plan. Some of you are in situations right now that you feel like it's overwhelming to you. You don't know what to do, and you feel like God is testing you. But here's the thing, God already has a plan, a solution for the problem that you feel is so great. Some of you right now are scratching your head because you're in a very difficult situation and you're saying, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how I'm going to move forward in this. And you're scratching your head and it's very difficult. And you're asking God and you feel like your faith is being tested because you feel like, hey, I know what's right to do, or I think I know what's right to do, but it's really tough for me to do it. And you really don't know how to figure it out. And you feel like God is putting you in a place that tests your faith, but I want you to know something. God already has a plan for you. You're being tested not because God doesn't know how to solve the problem, but because your faith needs to grow. And so he was asking Philip to test him, to see if how he would respond. You see, I believe that Jesus looked and saw the need in the natural, but he also saw the provision in the supernatural. You and I simply see the natural needs. We see the physical. But God has the ability to see into the future. He has the ability to see the spiritual. He sees what we do not see. And when he asked Philip, he already could see in his mind's eye through faith what the solution was coming down the road, but he wanted to test Philip to see how Philip would answer. You know, I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, you know, sometimes I've looked out and I felt like Philip. I've been a pastor in the city of Chicago for a long time now. And I remember in the early days, I would get super overwhelmed by just the incredible needs that surround us. I started pastoring when I was 21 years old, and I had couples coming to, I wasn't even married, and I had couples coming to me telling my marriage is falling apart, my wife is about to leave me, pastor, what should I do? And I'm like, okay, out of my vast experience in marriage, or some people would come and say, hey, how could I come to you? You're just a kid. You've never been married. You don't understand. And I would say, you know, I don't understand. I'm planning on getting married. But I'm not going to talk to you out of my experience. I'm going to talk to you about out of the power of the Word of God, because this is what God says. Hey, experience is good, but the Word of God trumps experience. Always. And I remember being so overwhelmed at times by the needs around people that were struggling, addicts and marriages falling apart and people struggling with depression and people calling me up. And I felt like everybody had issues. Everybody has problems. The world is, this is a difficult, and we were in a very tough neighborhood in Chicago. And I remember feeling like we don't have money. We don't have resources. We don't have staff. Our building's falling apart. We don't have a worship team. I mean, we don't have counselors. We don't have, there's 18 people in the church and there's hundreds of people around us. God, I would see people coming in and I would get overwhelmed like Philip. Lord, what are we going to do? Everybody, we cannot in any way start to solve these problems and get overwhelmed. Like Philip, I wanted to say, tell him to go away. But I've learned over the years that in every challenge, there's an opportunity. I've learned over the years that God will never send something your way that he doesn't give you the opportunity to solve and give you the provision to meet that need. I've learned over the years that, yeah, the problems may be big and there's a lot of challenges, but God has the power and ability. Don't run from the challenges, because every challenge that comes our way is also a door of opportunity that God is giving to us if we're willing to step through it. Jesus could have run. The disciples could have run. They could have said, this is too big. We don't know how to handle it. Albert Einstein said, in the middle of difficulty always lies opportunity. I was thinking about this a little bit. How Philip responded, let's walk away, this is too big, we can't handle all this. And I was thinking over the years how God has opened up doors through challenges, even at this church. When we started at the little church in 44th and Palina, I remember we had no worship team. I mean, we had some good worship this morning, didn't we? The band, the keyboard, the bass, the soundboard, the lights. I mean, that takes a lot of work and a lot of talent. But when we started, we had one guy leading a cappella. I remember my first worship experience. I walked away and said, man, that was bad. Well, you know how we come out of worship here and it's like, yeah, Jesus. I'll come back saying, help me, Jesus. That was really bad. We're bad. If I was a visitor, I wouldn't come back. I would tell myself, I wouldn't come back. In fact, I'd bring earplugs, I think, if I was a visitor. Because it was really, really bad. In fact, it was so bad that I decided to lead worship myself with my guitar. That's how bad it was. He said, Pastor, it couldn't have been that bad. You haven't heard me sing and play the guitar. That's why you're saying that. And so there was a challenge there. And so I decided, you know what it led me to do? It led me to lead guitar lessons at my house. I said, who wants to learn to play guitar? And about 5 people raised their hands. I said, this week on Thursday, come to my house. I'm going to teach you guitar lessons. And so we started guitar lessons. We had no worship band. And guess what? I look now and say, we have at least 30-some worship teams throughout Chicago. And it was beautiful this week to see Tiffany Daniels, one of our worship leaders, produce her own album with songs written from this place. Come on. That's because when there's a challenge, God creates opportunities. I thought, you know, we started getting people that spoke Spanish coming to New Life, and we thought, you know, there's a challenge here. There are people that are speaking Spanish, and we can't present the Word of God to them. And so it was frustrating to us in the beginning because we felt like there was a lot of Spanish-speaking people in the community coming, and their relatives would come, and they would sit through a service, and they could not understand. And we thought, this is terrible. We need to do something about it. And because of that challenge, we started a Spanish Bible study. And when we were in Curie High School, we would have the Spanish stay in the service, and then we would dismiss them to the band room. We thought we got to do something. And now let me tell you, now we have about 1,500 people that are worshiping God in Spanish-speaking services at New Life Community Church. Why? Because the problem created an opportunity. Are you tracking with me here? We had a bunch of people that were driving very far. Driving sometimes an hour to get to church, an hour and a half to get to church. And they would drive way out in the suburbs and come in, or way from the north side and come in. And they would drive a long way to come in. And sometimes they would say, it's really hard to get involved because they're so far out there. And as we started to dream about a church that could impact the city of Chicago, we started to say, you know what? If we're going to be truly a city church, we cannot meet in one place. We have to plant other locations. And after 40 days of fasting and prayer, God led us to release people to other places in Chicago. Because there was a problem, God opened up the opportunity. And now we have 24 other locations meeting this morning, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Why? There was a problem. And it created an opportunity. We ran out of space at our little building at 44th and Palina. We knocked down the stage to add more chairs. It was a really small building. In fact, it got so crowded that we started putting chairs on stage. We ran out of space, so we put an aisle of chairs there. We had the audience sitting on the stage. It was a little distracting if someone in the audience fell asleep, you know, because they're right there. And we said, what are we going to do? We went to 2 services. And we packed that out. Then we had to start renting places. It was a challenge. What are we going to do with this? There's a challenge here. And some people said, hey, it's packed out service. That's okay. God has blessed us. Let's just stay there. But we had a challenge to say, if we're going to reach more people, we got to do something. This is a problem here. And out of that problem, God caused us to We rented spaces from here to there, high schools. We rented a union hall. We rented hotels. We bounced around. Our motto was, if you can find us, you can meet with us.
This concludes the first half of part one of our message called What's in Your Lunch Bag? It's from our See the Change series with Pastor Mark. Join us again for the second half. And as I mentioned earlier, Straight Talk Radio is a ministry of Pastor Mark, and if you would like a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. You can find it at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find over 200 messages from Pastor Mark and a Bible app that will help you with your spiritual walk. Before you go, we invite you to visit us at our Midway location where you can hear Pastor Mark in person. It's 5101 South Keeler in Chicago near Midway Airport. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line at the Pulaski stop. Join us at 9:30 or 11:30 a.m. Thank you so much for listening. And on behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the entire Straight Talk team, have a great evening. God bless.